Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, titled Messiah Cut Off. This is part 2 of 2.
I'll start actually in verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. It's just the same city Daniel's talking about in Daniel 9. The same city. He beheld the city and wept over it. Look at verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Why are they hid from their eyes? Because their eyes aren't on the Bible. Their eyes aren't on Scripture. Their eyes were on tradition. Their eyes were on man-made rules. Their eyes were on trying to please the leaders and the chief priests and the elders. And verse 43, then he goes on to say, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side. Verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground. That's Jesus is predicting 70 AD, and that's exactly what happened in 70 AD. And thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou, what? Read that. Knewest not the time of thy visitation. He's talking about Daniel's prediction. Right there. Make note of that. Every time you read that, you should think about the fact that if those people had known their Bible and known the book of Daniel, they would have known that crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of prophecy 5 centuries beforehand. That's amazing. You know that's twice as old as the country we live in? Twice as old as the United States of America. That's amazing. I would just be honest with you. The first time I read that and understood it, I wept. I just got so... I can't even say why I was crying. I just was reading that, and I just got weepy about it. And I think it was just because it was so overwhelming to know I had such a wonderful book God gave me. And I had failed to really spend time in it and really understand it. I was just guilty. That's it, really. I was trying to remember. I know I remember I thought about it when I was crying. And it was because I realized I was just pretty much as guilty as those people of not knowing God's Word the way I ought to. And I think most Christians today need to do some soul searching on how well they know the Word. So let this amazing fulfillment of Bible prophecy just sink in. You don't have to get all weepy about it, but it is amazing that chart that you see there, that's just Bible information charted, and God is amazing. Look there where it says age of grace. Actually, you know, you can only put so many words in there. So I like better the dispensation of the gospel of grace. I like that. But the church age. And right above there, you can't see it real well because I kind of wanted to purposely put it there as kind of a, what they call it, an Easter egg. They put them in movies and stuff. It says parentheses. You see that? Parentheses. And that's us. That's the church. That's now. We're the parenthesis. There were 69 weeks that stopped when Jesus was cut off. Next week, we're going to look at what starts the 70th week. And it hasn't happened yet. You're in between those. And there's a lot of interesting information. I'm not just trying to bait you to come back. But there's a lot of information if you miss next week. So real quick, I want to close with this. It's so important because we're going to finish, actually, we're going to finish verse 26. I'm going to finish this study with those words in verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And there's a lot of people I've heard over the years not really pay attention to that little phrase. But it means that Jesus' death was not for himself. He didn't sin. The reason why Jesus died on that cross was not for anything he had done. The reason why he's on what's called Gordon's Calvary, the place of the skull, it was identified in the modern era. The locals knew that it was called that, but in the modern era, General Charles Gordon in 1882 let the world know that the place of the skull is still there. You can still see it. Because it had been a long time since people had gone over there to look around. Once in a while, someone like Mark Twain would go over there and talk about it, look destitute. But now you go, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of people go over there every year and look around. But back then, it wasn't like that. So let's consult New Version Translators real quick. This is the New Translation Committee leader. The mess, huh?
Yeah, it looks like the skull.
Maybe, huh? The message is that, you know, it says after 62 sevens, the anointed leader will be killed. The end of him. Instead of, well, we'll see in a second. Yeah. The NIV says, after 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. Are you noticing they're changing the Bible? It's not the same. This is the CSB from the SBC. After those 62 weeks, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. Evidently, he's going to suffer a financial loss. His stock is going to crash or something. The ESV, and after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and what? Shall have nothing. Now compare what you just read to the KJV again. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself.
Amen.
Does that look the same? Does that look like they just updated the language so you can understand it better? No. You've been lied to. I've been lied to. I used to use the NIV and all this. Well, that's what's called the vicarious atonement in reality. When you see that it says the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself, it's called the vicarious atonement. Now, the word vicarious is an extra-biblical word. The word vicarious isn't in the Bible, Steve. You shouldn't be using that word. You're hearing that a lot these days. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible. So people are like, you shouldn't use the word Trinity. And why the word rapture isn't in the Bible. The funny thing is, the word Bible isn't in the Bible. Well, I'm talking about words used to define God. And, you know. But the word vicarious means substituted in the place of another as a vicarious sacrifice. In other words, they'll say, my hand represents you. You should have been the one nailed to a cross. You should have been the one who had your sins on your account, and you should have been cast into hell. Instead, Jesus came and died in your place. Switch. There's a story of the judge who looked down at the young man and pounded his gavel and said, guilty. Then he steps off and takes his robe off, walks around, stands in front, pulls out his wallet, and pays the fine for his son. That's what vicarious is. He died in your place, not for himself, and he paid your price, the price you and I owe. And it's interesting that in the Webster's 1828, they mentioned the doctrine of vicarious punishment has occasioned much controversy. Yes, if you don't believe the Bible, then you're going to have controversy. And that's what it comes down to. And I mentioned spiritual infancy. The word vicarious is not in the Bible. But that's exactly what happened. It was a vicarious atonement. The atonement was made by somebody in your place. And I don't know if you've ever really meditated on that as you're praying or anything, but do so. Really think about that. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're going to sing about Jesus for eternity. You and I should be in hell, and we're not. Why? Because of Jesus. not for himself. He didn't die for any sin he committed. He died for the sins of the whole world, by the way, Calvinists.
Amen.
The whole world. John 1:29, John the Baptist said, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the elect. I don't know. I should have checked. There might be some of these new versions that say that. He didn't take away the sin of the elect. He took away the sin of the whole world.
I think the next verse, I don't know.
Yes, it's called propitiation. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, talking about saved people, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
But see, there's propitiation. The price has already been paid. But the only way for that to be applied to your account is for you to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, believing that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again and conquered sin and death, immediately the slate is clean.
Amen.
Any deviation from that truth is apostasy. Just a fact. And that is the end of the 69th week. That's where we land at the cross. Since then, this parenthesis I mentioned, the church age, includes that 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. He is the original Superman.
Yeah.
Superman is a knockoff.
Amen.
The 50th day, counting Resurrection Sunday, was then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and baptized believers into the body for the first time and began to indwell men. It happened in Acts 2. 70 AD, as we said, we've seen Jesus prophesy. It was fulfilled. Jerusalem was destroyed. And then that's when the Jewish diaspora took place, is when the Jews are scattered around the world. 105 AD, scripture canon is complete. By 105, all the Bible books are done. And the Bible is complete. And after 2 days, a day is 1,000 years. 2,000 years. After 2 days, that after 2 days is approaching. It's not here yet, but it's real close. God has revived Israel as a nation beginning in 1948. Some people like to date that to 1967 when they regained control of Jerusalem. But either way, that is the table being set. The stage is being set for the 70th week. And that's where we're going to pick up in our study next time. Any Q&A before we close up? Stephen.
So the... on your since then thing, timeline, to put Jesus' ascension to heaven, and then at the 40-day mark, and then the 50-day mark, that's when the Spirit is given.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like 10 days apart. Just one of the things that annoys me is, I'll talk to like anti-dispensationalists, and they'll be like, what would happen if somebody died? You know, between the time that Jesus rose from the dead and the time that he ascended to heaven, and from the time that he ascended to heaven, and from the time that the Spirit was given. One of the things that I say is, like, that's a really short period of time. Most people don't realize that, you know, at about the 240-day mark was when Stephen was killed. So he was killed, like, that first year, and, you know, it's like a rapid succession.
During that transition time, I believe until you heard the gospel, you were still under law. And then at some point, Paul says, we're going to see in our study in Colossians, that the gospel went to all the world. And now there are historians who say, well, it went to a lot of places in the world and all that, but they don't. I believe it went around the world. And well, there's traditions that kind of fill in some of the blanks, but in, like I said, in Colossians, is in Colossians 1:23 says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Exactly how that happened, we don't know, but I believe the Bible when it says it happened. And we have evidence of that then, because when the missionaries in the recent couple hundred years have gone out to places where we thought they never heard the gospel, there were times where they found out, yeah, there's evidence that they had heard the gospel. And like America is now, they had gone into apostasy. You know, so it's all very interesting.
Another thing that was interesting about Luke, Luke 17:41, talking about Jesus. So it's Jesus who's weeping. Right?
Yes.
The people not knowing.
Yeah.
So basically, an observation that I made was that, you know, not knowing your Bible makes Jesus cry.
Well, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, so yes. I wouldn't picture Jesus up there weeping big crocodile tears over it, but I would see him grieved by it. Yeah. Yeah, that's... Anybody else? Well, hold on. Hand that to... Johnny, come up here and speak on the mic, if you will.
This is just an interesting observation. Never notice how we have the term apostle for those who worked under Jesus, and then we have the word apostasy, which is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea why that is?
You know, there might be an etymology between the two words in the Greek language, but I couldn't say off the top. Etymological. Yeah. They probably come from the same root, but I know... You know, they're different words completely. So, I mean, apostle, generally speaking, means messenger, and apostasy means falling away. So the root may have something to do with the fact there's something being said or done.
The importance of expository Bible study.
I talk to people who've been in church for years, and when I try to talk to them about the Bible, I get blank stares.
Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Matthew 22:29.
The reason is because they didn't take it upon themselves to read the Bible from cover to cover.
But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4.
Then they went to churches that didn't teach the Bible cover to cover, didn't teach through books. And on top of that, they even when they taught something from the Bible, a lot of times it was taken totally out of context. So they didn't even have a proper understanding of what little Bible they did get at the church they attended.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amos 8:11.
Well, we're going to start our study of this letter Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi. And we're going to go through every verse till we get to the end. Amen?
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2.
Now, if you are faithful to attend Sunday mornings, over a few weeks, might be 3 or 4 months, I don't know how long it'll take, might be sooner, might be later. We don't go in with an agenda to get through it a certain amount of time. But by the time you come to the end of that, I will promise you, you'll know the Bible better than when we started.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:17-18.
And if during that time you are reading 3 chapters a day in your own Bible, God will teach you things you'll never hear here. Amen. Now, if you're saved and you're a Bible believer, that ought to excite you.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. 1 John 2:5.
The coming weeks should be exciting. because God can teach you. And you say, well, I've arrived. No, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but none of us have arrived.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12.
How many of you have been reading the Bible for a while and can say you keep learning? That's because unlike Shakespeare and some of the great human books, this is divine. This book is from God.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
And so you can read it your entire life, once, twice, three times, five times a year, however many times you can read it and comprehend what you're reading, and you will still continue to learn. It's an amazing book.
The importance of expository Bible study. It's an amazing book.
Stand up.
Is Lord. Hymns and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.